Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you that your word is life to those who find it. It is health and healing to our flesh. Father, I thank you that today life flows through all of us. I thank you that today healing flows through all of us. We are alive just as Jesus is alive, and we praise you for that, Father. I thank you as we open your word, Father, that revelation will flow. We thank you for it. And all of God's people said, amen. Our right hands raised with the Bible. Say this after me. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'm a believer. Therefore I'm a receiver. I do believe. I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give our podcast listeners a nice hand clap. Happy Easter to them. Amen. So praise God. If you weren't here on Good Friday, we had a blessed time together. Wonderful service. Just the anointing and it was so good. Amen. And it was great to be here on Good Friday as a family. It's good. It was just wonderful. I was talking to how many different religions are out there and how they celebrate Easter and Good Friday and things of that nature, how they celebrate it so differently, especially Good Friday. You know, Good Friday is celebrated by so many different cultures, by Christians, of course, but in different cultures. I was explaining that one, they make a clay portrait of Jesus laying on a stone like he's in the tomb, and they all lay around it and they pray. And that's one way they do it. Another one is they do the demonstration of the Roman soldiers and Jesus being whipped and carrying the cross and things of that nature. We're not going to read all that today, by the way. I want to get into him, where he was, as we read last week. And we're going to start in Matthew 27. But so many people celebrate Good Friday different. And we as Christians, in this house anyway, we celebrated it by reading some word. And worshiping the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. See, we don't pray that he's on the cross. We don't pray that he's in a tomb. I don't even picture my Lord in a tomb. I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised to picture Jesus on a cross. I never bought a cross. I always wore a cross, but I never had one that had Jesus on it because he's not on it. Once he got off the cross, there's no sense in having a cross with a Jesus on it. Right? So, amen. I mean, he's free from that. I'd like to see Jesus with glowing halos around him and angels standing behind him and light beaming out of him because he's alive. That's it. I mean, why celebrate him as being dead or in the grave or on a cross? But we're going to read some of that. So Matthew 27, and we're going to start in verse 32. This is the King, Jesus on the cross. It says, "Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross." Jesus was worn out from the beating he had just taken. The Bible says that he was beaten with 39 lashes of a cat of nine tails. So each lashing had actually nine fingers on the end of it with pieces of pottery, hard clay, and things of that glass type to slash and to rip into the flesh of the Lord. I remember Dad describing it one time as his back looking like hamburger. And we've got kind of a picture, but doesn't really do it justice. And, you know, it's all right. But if you could only imagine that the pain and suffering that our Lord and Savior bore, just for you and me to be able to say, "I'm healed." That's why he took that, see? So that we could say, "I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ." You know, they say that there are actually 39 main diseases. Isn't that funny? 39 lashes, 39 main diseases. Wow. And they were going to give him 40, but they wanted to spare him one. Be merciful. Now, don't think that God did not know what he was doing. Amen. Let me keep reading or I'll never get this done. Who they compelled him to carry his cross. Verse 33. "And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him. Boy, they just went right to the point, didn't they? Okay, he wouldn't drink it. Let's crucify him. But said, then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. They were throwing dice for Jesus' clothes. Sitting down, they kept watch over him. Because you know what? You know why they kept watch over him, right? Because he was supposed to ascend. And they kind of believed it, I believe. And they didn't want his body to get stolen. You know, they were very concerned about that when they laid him in the tomb. They had guards posted outside the tomb because they were afraid that his disciples were going to steal the body so that they could say, yes, he's risen. They didn't have to. They didn't have to. But I like the story anyway. So, amen. So sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Verse 37. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Jesus, the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. The Prince of Peace. His name is above every name. Amen. We can go on and on. Amen. Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one other on the left. And those that passed by blasphemed Jesus, or blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple, build it in 3 days. Save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise, chief priests also mocking with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and then we will believe. Now, we talked about this Friday, but we believe and have not seen.
That's right.
And the Bible says, because we believe and have not seen, we are blessed.
Amen.
We are what?
Blessed.
So say, I'm blessed. You are blessed because you believe and yet you have not seen. They just said, I will not believe unless I see him come down off the cross. Well, Jesus had to stay on the cross to save you and me. He could have come down, trust me. We're talking about the Almighty God in Son flesh. Here he is on the earth on a cross. He stayed up there for you and me. And you know what? He also stayed up there for those that don't even know him.
Amen.
Don't even know him. He even stayed up there, you ready, for those who have rejected him.
Right.
He stayed up there because if he had not, we would not be alive.
Amen.
If he had not stayed on that cross, our sin would still be held against us.
Right.
We'd still be sacrificing bulls and goats and lambs and, right? Trying to get that blood to cover us. But see, his blood, the Bible says, has washed us clean, has cleansed us, cleansed us. That blood is still alive. That blood is on the mercy seat. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And continually, the Bible says, cleanses us. Amen.
Amen.
That's shouting stuff right there.
That's right.
Praise God. Let's see. All right. Verse 41. Likewise, the chief priests also mocking the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now and if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. So here he is now. We got a robber who's on a cross next to him, right? Got another robber on another cross next to him, right? They're on both sides, right? And they're sitting there in his ear.
Yeah.
You know, running their mouth, right? Now we do know that one of them did something, didn't he? There was one who said, remember me when you're in your kingdom. Amen. I like that story. Ah, all right, praise God. Let's look at chapter 28. Oh, no. Sorry. Luke 21. Ha! Shoot on over to Luke. Praise God. Luke 21. Whoo! Let's start in verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory.
Hallelujah.
Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Your redemption draws near. That's catch me away. I'm out of here. Your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them in parables. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves the summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Now, look up. Your redemption draws near.
Hallelujah.
When we see these things happening, right? We see all these things. He says, look up. Look up. See, our Lord and our Savior has promised us. Now remember, everything that he did to fulfill prophecy. He fulfilled much prophecy. Every time you're reading and certain things that he did, you'll see. As was spoken by the prophet saying, Jesus did thus and so, right? There's going to be something that he has to fulfill again. Now, you ready? He's got to come back and get us. He's got to come back and get us. My God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said, will he not do? If he has spoken it, he will make it good. Well, he spoke it, didn't he? He said that Jesus was going to come on the clouds to come and get us. Right? Look up. I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's bust out of here, man. This place is crazy. Right? You know, the sad thing about this is this generation above each generation begins to label the next generation. And they label them and they label them and they're placing curses on them. We've had the Generation X, who everybody said would amount to nothing. All right. Well, now we've got millennials they talk about. And well, they say most millennials all live at home with their mom, are all in debt, can't pay their bills. Huh. Well, that's a nice label, right? We're labeling our generations to fail. And we can't do that. We can't do that. We wouldn't label our children to fail by saying you'll never amount to anything. Because, see, we're men and women of faith. What we say with our mouth and we believe in our heart comes to pass. That's how we got born again. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So if we believe that, then we're born again. So what we say with our mouth and believe in our heart comes to pass. The Bible says that we're to be imitators of God as dear children. Well, God did something in the beginning. In the beginning, he began to speak. Right? He said, light be, and guess what? Light was and light is in the Bible. It continues and will never cease. It will never cease. Light will always overcome darkness. Praise God. And what did he do, though? He spoke it into existence. Right. We're to do the same, being the imitator of God. All right? Amen. Okay. Praise the Lord. I want to go into 1 Thessalonians 4. Praise God. Everybody hot? I'm hot. Yeah, it's really hot in here. That's all I needed to hear. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Who's that? Oh, yeah. All right. Excuse me. First Thessalonians 4. Got a lot of reading. Verse 13. It says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." I have hope.
Amen.
I have hope. You know why I have hope? The word says I have hope. Because, see, I don't sorrow knowing that my daddy, he may have fallen asleep, but I will see him one day. See, he's still alive.
Yes.
He's an eternal being. Now, there are some religions that say that they're not necessarily eternal yet, that they're not eternal yet until Jesus comes back. Then they're raised from the dead. All right. That kind of sounds like purgatory, doesn't it? Yeah. Right. Just kind of still stuck in that. Seventh-day Adventists kind of believe that right now they just sleep. All right. They're still an eternal being, but they sleep. That's okay. They're not conscious. Right. Well, I don't see that in the Word. Therefore, I don't believe it. What I do see, though, is that I don't have to sorrow as one who has no hope. Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and what? Rose again, even so God will bring him, those who sleep in Jesus, will bring them who sleep in Jesus." My dad sleeps in Jesus, see? He's in Jesus. So I know when Jesus comes back, here he comes too. So not only is Jesus going to greet me in the clouds, but so is my grandpa's, my daddy, my pappy, and Yappy, and Uncle Flappy, and all these. I'm going to see them all. Amen. And I can't wait because, see, I have no sorrow in that. I mourned when I lost my daddy. I mourned when I lost my grandpas, when I lost my grandmas. I mourned, right? But I didn't continue in sorrow. Because see, inside I know, number one, they're with their Lord, which is where they wanted to be in the first place. I mean, I'd rather be out of here myself, you know, but I'm here. Praise God. It's all right. Verse 15, it says, "For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." They're first.
Yeah.
Those who are asleep are first.
Yeah.
"We'll not precede them. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout." See, God doesn't do anything quietly. He doesn't do anything quietly. "He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." They will rise first. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." How long? Always. Everybody say always. Hallelujah. All right. "Therefore, comfort then one another with these words." See, this is supposed to be comforting. We're to be able to comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, but. You see, he wasn't done yet. He said, but. But. Dad, just say, get your butt out of the way. He says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, you know, like everything's all good, right? I mean, oh, there's no problems. I mean, wow, Trump has brought peace. Sudden destruction, says. That's what it says. All of a sudden, sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. See, once this happens, remember our redemption draws nigh. I look up. Remember when he said, when you know that the trees are beginning to bud and the things are beginning to green up, that the time is now for summer. Summer's on its way. He says, when you see all these taking place, all these different things, he says, now look up. Your redemption draws nigh. He's basically telling us the same thing here. Amen. Excuse me. Goodness gracious. Okay, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, but you, brethren and sistern, or peoples, that's not PC, is it? I don't know, we're not allowed to even say humans. Do you know they're not allowed to say, at this college now, they're not allowed to say women? There's a certain college now, it's an all-female college. They're not allowed to call them women. They're not allowed to call them female. No gender at all can be used. You know what they're allowed to call them? Students. Tilt, right? What is going on with this world? What is going on? We can't call them women. We can't call them female. They're all female school. But we can call them students, though. Okay. All right. See, we're starting to take this thing so way, way, way past where we need to be. Amen. We're not allowed to say mankind. They even won't let you say humankind. Some people don't consider themselves to be human. I'm just telling you. Some consider themselves to be from another planet. Some of them consider to be alien. Well, I am alien. I don't know if you know this. See, because I'm not of this world. I may be in it, the word says, but I'm not of it. Amen? I guess that would make me an alien. I'm ET, extraterrestrial. All right. why did I get onto that? We got to stop doing that. All right. Verse 5. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be ready. Be sober. Be ready. Be watchful. Look up. Is he over there? Where? Wait a minute. No. Where? Whoa. Let's look up. Let's get excited. Let's get ready. Jesus is coming. Amen. Why? Because, see, our Jesus, our Lord, our Master, He's alive. All these other guys that people worship are still sleeping. They're still dead. Okay. We serve a risen Savior. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as those others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. We've got to stop. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Boo. Oh, no, you don't. I can't. We can't stop. Get a look at 2 Thessalonians when you get time. Chapter 2. Read it all the way through chapter 3. Amen? You'll like it. It's good stuff. Praise God.
I pray blessings upon every family today in Jesus' name. I pray that as they come together as one, Father, that Jesus be lifted up. We thank you for that, Father, and all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a happy Easter. Praise the Lord.